This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Rise and shine, Atlanta. This is the Morning Shift. I'm Big Papa Squid. He's the All-American National Champion, former Atlanta Falcon. Michael, don't ask him what the P stands for, Johnson. And her name is Ali Siri, not Ali. So when she sends me text messages, that's how you pronounce it. It's Ali Mack, the leader, the founder of Ali's Army.
Wow.
That's that so happen? Accurate. Yes, my everything says, good morning, Ali, or Ali. I cannot get it
to
say Ali.
I see it now.
Yeah.
Dude, we're walking through the hood yesterday with pork chop and sprinkles. And it says, Ali sends a text message. And I'm like, who the is Ali?
I have lost food in a Taco Bell for them calling out an Ali.
No.
But it's really Ali. And an Ali was there and grabbed my food.
Well, wow. It's probably not the worst thing I've heard someone called. Michael, remember what the Chick-fil-A woman called me?
Oh, yeah, Bayou. Bayou. And this man, like, and what's funny is he didn't even realize it, Ali. I realized it. Because, I mean, obviously, he's not thinking somebody's calling me Bayou, but I'm sitting there, and I, like, nudged him. I'm like, yo, I think your order's ready. He's like, no. That's not, she's not talking to me. I was like, yeah. I was like, dude, you are Bayou in this equation.
That's pretty bad.
You are Bayou. And when he goes, you mean Bo? She looked at him like, nah, I meant Bayou.
No, I meant it. You're saying it wrong.
Yeah. If she didn't work for the company that serves the Lord's chicken, I'd have had some choice words for her.
Hey.
Although, I did tell her it's Bo.
Yeah, can we just rewind like a matter of 60 seconds and you hit us with the rise and shine this morning? I thought you were going to say rise up. I was like, oh, he's on one this morning. The Falcons fandom coming through. But then we got the rise and shine, man. Is that feedback based? Is that just a feeling thing? What's going on there?
I don't know. I was sitting here literally like a minute and a half before we started, and I was like, you know,
just got his own.
I just thought rise and shine. Look, I'm going to tell you something. My creative juices are flowing, and I will tell you why. I don't know if the rise and shine will be something that I do from now on. Maybe I'll rotate it. You know, maybe I'll just switch it up a little bit and throw you off. I think I might like the wake up sounds angry sometimes. And I didn't want to sound angry. I wanted to sound excited. I wanted it to sound, you know, what is is it carpe diem is seize the day?
Sure.
Is that it?
Yeah.
That's the way I feel today, and I'm going to tell you why. You want to know why? Let me tell you why, Michael
P. Sure, let me know.
I got something I haven't gotten in months last night.
Oh, good for you. Yeah.
Yeah. Careful there.
Attaboy.
Yes. Uninterrupted sleep. You're right.
Oh.
Uninterrupted sleep.
Oh,
it was amazing.
Boo.
Yeah, that's what I got. Uninterrupted sleep. It's weird because Poor Chop was a little early last night with her. I'm hungry. And so I said, I'm going to let her cry it out a little bit. And not long, but we gave her the bath. We swaddled her, gave her the bottle. I think my head hit pillow at like 9 o'clock.
There you go.
And knowing that I would be up at like, you know, midnight, right? So finally go to sleep. I put on the movie The Fighter, you know, Mark Wahlberg, which is a phenomenal movie. Christian Bale is absolutely one of his best roles ever. He's in that as his brother. And I wake up to my alarm.
That's
the first, and I'm like,
all right.
Now I'm panicked when I woke up.
All
did
right,
I sleep? Time. Did I sleep through the baby crying? Is the baby alive?
Yeah.
Like,
oh, no.
What is going
on?
Was Pork Chop okay? I was panicked. So I, like, jumped. I heard it, and I hit snooze, and then I go, oh, you know, oh, you know, like, foul language comes out.
Mm-hmm.
Popping, I'm, like, checking her.
You're like, did the baby monitor die? That's what
right.
my always thing was. Baby monitor die?
Dude, everything's fine. I'm like, oh, my God, what did I do? What did I do? Something's wrong. I don't know. I got up, changed her diaper, needed it, fed her a bottle, which is good. She never cried. I was like, what is going – like, I was worried, Mike.
Yeah. Well, and I think you're right to be worried. There are certain situations that definitely call for that. But, you know, look, imagine my worry. My daughter didn't sleep through the night till 6 months old. Like, oh, so imagine my worry when I'm like, oh, God, what happened? And then it's like, oh, she's all right. Yeah, she just decided tonight was the night after 6 months. So, yeah, look, I know we got to get to Falcon stuff, a lot of headlines. I will say, though, all apologies to Grant and to Bo. I took a massive step towards Husband of the Year last night.
What did you do?
Yeah, so I put both children to bed, and I just told my wife, you take a minute.
Brownie points.
Yeah, I did. And you know what? I tell Bo this all the time. Parenting is not a 50-50 proposition. It's not. It's never 50-50, man. It's, you know what? Sometimes I got 80, sometimes she's got 20. It's all about whose cup is full that day. And last night, my cup was empty. I was like, dude, you take your time. You've had a long day. I got this.
Did you just see her eyes light up?
Oh, dude. And I don't, like, at the time, she was like, oh, I don't know. That feels selfish. And then she ended up leaving and going to play Mahjong with the neighbors, which that's a whole other conversation. I don't even know what that even game even
that's
is.
Two I was about to say, Mo Woody?
Yeah. Yeah, it's two nights in a row.
It's two nights in a row she's been on the streets.
Two different groups she's played Mahjong with two nights in a row, two different groups.
You know, I'm
I don't even know what that game is, man.
I'm not in the business of calling out other people's spouses, but
look, I'm not going to let you do it. I'm Husband of the Year, HOTY. I'm going for Husband of the Year. Yeah,
all
apologies
I know is we better have some interrupted iRacing soon. That's all I'm saying, Lindsay. If you're listening, is Mike home?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. Allie, you know, I mean, me and Mike, was Grant okay yesterday? He kind of sent a tweet out that he had to come back to say, look, you know, he tweets about Chris Sale's velocity, and then he comes back. Look, I know it was his best start of the year. I was just saying.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly what I saw that this morning, so I haven't gotten to talk to him about that quite yet. But I mean, obviously, yesterday was a little bit disappointing.
Yeah, definitely and was. We'll get to that a little bit later in the show. But I read it and I was like, oh, Grant, okay, Mr. McCauley, Mr. McCauley. But anyways, there was. Better, I felt like the vibes were a little bit better at Flowery Branch yesterday, even though there was a fine levied, which we'll get to, that you know, $250,000 for the team and then $100,000 for Jeff Ulbrich for the Shador Sanders whateverness with the prank call. But, you know, let's start with some good news. Drake London's fifth-year option is picked up. He's entering year four. I wholeheartedly believe that they will try to renegotiate and extend him out before he ever plays on that fifth year, but that's just me. It could still happen, but no matter what, the Falcons have two more years of Drake London.
Yeah, and you know what's the thing? The first thing I thought of yesterday, and I know that we've got a lot of audio and cuts to get to from everybody up there in Flowery Branch visiting with the media, but first thing I thought of, and I'm curious if you thought the same way, I was like, shout out to Darnell Mooney for doing all the things – last year that people probably think of when they think of eighth overall wide receiver. Drake London's not the guy that's beat you over the top. He's not the fastest receiver in the room. He doesn't beat you downfield the way some of these guys that are taken in the top 10 do. And I feel like Drake London last year, Bo, was allowed to actually be Drake London. Like, he was allowed to actually settle into the role, the power slot role that you maybe expected from Kyle Pitts at a certain point, or maybe that, you know, he hasn't been allowed to play under different offenses. Last year was the year that Drake London finally kind of took hold of what exactly he's going to be in the NFL, and I feel like now that that has been exposed, he's allowed to kind of flourish and you know, play the way he wants to.
Yeah, the thing for me with Drake is he can do everything, and even without that speed, he can beat you over the top. It's just going to be more of a 50-50 ball, right? He can move into those areas. He's kind of a possession receiver that can sneakily stretch the field. And one thing he told us last year at training camp is one of his feels like his most underrated things is his quickness. He's not straight in speed, but he's quick. And that's that basketball, and that's why he's so good over the middle. And that's why he can extend plays because of his quickness and catch balls on the run and you know, some crossing routes, those kind of things. So I love that. And Zach Robinson, you know, he talked yesterday. Ike Hilliard talked yesterday. And Ike Hilliard kind of talked about how this team working more with Michael Penix and how guys like Drake and Darnell and maybe, you know, a Nick Nash who comes in here, Kadarius Hodge, all these guys, Bijan, working more with a guy like Penix is only going to be good for everyone.
Well, it's awesome. You know, the confidence, the athletic arrogance, as one said, that I love that Mike has, it's, you know, it's infectious. You know, it goes throughout the building. Everybody's excited to get a full year with Mike and you know, look forward to see what's going to happen.
I don't know, dude. I feel like it needs to go on a T-shirt, you know? Athletic arrogance. Like, what a good line, dude. Like, that is so – I mean, if I'm Michael Penix right now, I'm calling whoever my merchandise rep is, and I'd be like, yo, it's go time. Athletic arrogance.
You can make a lot of money off that.
Dude, that's such a good one. Either that or, like, a shoulder tattoo.
I would need one that says cerebral arrogance.
Cerebral?
Yeah, cerebral arrogance.
The irony of that was just incredible.
that's for Ali's show recap. I got to give her some gold. The other thing that struck me is something that this radio show has been firmly entrenched in, and that is that there's no reason why Kirk Cousins can't be the backup this upcoming season. There's no reason why you have to get rid of Kirk Cousins just because, like many people in this market, this the national media, and on this radio station have said, and I always, well, you know, just because. And if that's your thing, or if you think for some reason that Zach Robinson having Kirk Cousins and Michael Penix in the same room somehow negatively affects Michael Penix or this team's where this going, Zach Robinson was like, look, we're comfortable with Kirk Cousins being here.
It's been fine. You know, we're obviously, you know, just getting back in the building. Kirk's been here, you know, a handful of days. And so, you know, for us, it's just we're just going back to work. And for Kirk, obviously, he's in a role that he, you know, ended the season in as a backup, and would expect him to, you know, just like he did last year, just be there for Mike, be there for anybody on the offense. For me, when I'm up there installing, it's really not that much different. We had that same situation late in the season. Obviously, when we made the switch, everybody got on board with it then, and everybody's, you know, on board with it now, obviously. But Kirk's obviously valuable player to this offense, to this team, you know, and he's here. We're going to coach him just like we do every other player on the team. So I don't feel an awkwardness personally, you know, with me or the coaches, but you know, I understand he wants to go play somewhere, but shoot, we'll coach the guys that are here and expect Kirk to you know, to give us the same thing back.
And I expect that that's going to be exactly the vibes we get, don't you? I mean, and you just hit on it. We've talked about that all along. Like, I don't think that there's any part of Kirk Cousins that go in there and make a fool of himself in a meeting room, or, you know, take away from what Michael Penix is trying to do. And there's no risk of that, right? So I love hearing that from Zach Robinson.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's just funny because they've said the same thing all along, and some of us have believed, and some of us have understood what it meant, and some of us know how locker rooms work, and then there's everybody else, Mike.
I love it, man. I love it. Hey, we got to go to break, man. Unfortunately, and the vibes were high, but unfortunately, we do have to talk about the Jeff Ulbrich fine. Too much, too little, just right. Talk about that on the other side, and also the Braves with yet another Chris Sale letdown day. I don't know what the deal is. Stick with us here. It's the Morning Shift, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Wasn't his fault.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's the Morning Shift rolling on right here. Having a good time already, man. Already ripping the Band-Aid off and making sure we get the laughs rolling. Appreciate you listening. Hopefully you guys are doing the same things out there on the ride into work. It's so funny. And I think it was during the show yesterday, Allie, where somebody was tweeting me talking about dropping my Falcons teammates off at the Doorville station.
Right.
And I just straight up was like in Simba mode. I was like, no, that's the Darklands. We don't go past the Doorville station. I'm not going ITP to take teammates to the airport. But I guess teammate of the year is not going to be a thing for me. Although, like I said a minute ago, husband of the year is on the docket after last night. Is there anything Grant does that, like, he's like, I'm putting my bid in for husband of the year?
Oh, he tries to do everything for me. I mean, I'll be making something and I need to put away the milk, right? And he'll be staying there ready to take it. He's just there to help me in every situation.
He's a kitchen hoverer.
No, not a kitchen helper.
Right.
Yeah. A little sous chef.
Yeah, there you go. Does he cook it all?
Absolutely. He cooks everything for
really?
Us. Yes. Yeah, he makes everything.
Didn't see that one coming, although I should have. Should have.
I've gotten it. We've tried so many new dishes with this meal train. People have been bringing us food.
Yeah, what's the best one?
Well, I don't want to upset anyone. We've had some phenomenal. Amy's little sister last night made. She dropped off taco soup.
Strong.
We've had some good chicken pot pie, some chicken davion or something like that. It was really good. Well, my neighbor, and it's funny because. My buddy Brent and his wife Julie, they go to Mexico. They've been to Mexico with us on our group vacation, and she's like a vegetarian or vegan or whatever they call themselves. And she made this pasta shells thing, and it's got like real meat on it, and it is one of the best things I've ever eaten.
Wow!
I mean, it's absolutely it is. I don't know exactly what it is, but it's like those big pasta shells, and there's like. Cheese and
yeah
meat and sauce, and it's just absolutely phenomenal. Dude, like unbelievable. I'm sure it has a name, but yeah.
Well, look, man, we'll get to the Braves in just a second, guys. We're going to talk a little bit about the Atlanta Falcons here and the Jeff Ulbrich situation, which we talked a little bit just a minute ago about the offense and everything else going on. There were good vibes in Flowery Branch yesterday as all the assistant coaches met with the media. And one of those assistant coaches was Jeff Ulbrich. The vibe's not quite as high. As a matter of fact, you listen to the entire thing, none of it really was about the Atlanta Falcons. It was all about his son. I'm just thinking through this because Bo's dealing with new parenting situations, and Jeff Ulbrich is dealing with ones of a 21-year-old, and it's still you're always a parent. So you just – I don't know. You just kind of have to float along.
Well, and unfortunately, this is like his first real media press conference,
yeah.
right, with the Falcons,
yeah,
like new job, and this is what he has to answer to.
Yeah.
It just stinks for him.
It's unfortunate. Here's Jeff Ulbrich yesterday talking about his reaction when he found out that his son was the one involved.
Yeah, obviously not happy and shocked. So I made the Falcons aware of the situation. And then our next course of action was to try to get a hold of the Sanders family so we could apologize in person, which we were able to do. And the Sanders family, Shadur and Coach Sanders, were amazingly gracious, more gracious than they needed to be in a moment like this.
Solemn Jeff Ulbrich. I mean, I have no reason to doubt anything this man is saying. He sounds somber.
Mm-hmm.
He sounds ultimately sorry. And, you know, his words about Deion, I think, Deion and the Sanders family, I think, ring very, very heavy in this situation. Because let's just call a spade a spade. Deion and Shadur could have made this a much bigger deal than they are.
Absolutely.
And I think that's a huge credit to them. Obviously, $250,000 from the team yesterday that the NFL fined the Atlanta Falcons, Bo, and $100,000 from Jeff Ulbrich. He does not sound like a guy that's going to be in the mood to fight the fine. It's like, hey, let's just take this on the chin and move past it. But I'll say this, Bo, before I get your thoughts on it. Yesterday, I'm scrolling the socials, and like half the people are upset that it's not worse. Like, you know. And then half the people think it's ridiculously out of hand. And so that probably means that we're in the proximity of what it should be.
Where
right?
it should be.
Yeah.
Yeah, normally it means it's right, you know. Yeah, the people like that Jason McIntyre guy on Fox Sports Radio, what a clown take by saying, well, they should have got draft picks. I'd really drive the point home. What point? What point are you driving home, tough guy? It's so stupid. That's like no one is really fighting this. Everyone's remorseful that's involved, or seemingly anyways. I don't know about the kid that actually made the call. No one's heard from him. Knows his name that I know of, but it sucks there. But also, if I'm if I'm Ulbrich, I take it. All right. If I'm the team, I think I might fight back because there have been some reports surface and. I know that I'm normally boycott pro football talk, but this time I'm going to give them a little bit of credit because they obtained the email. And Mike Florio himself wrote the article on there where basically this wasn't something that the league sent the team, and then the team sent Ulbrich, and it said confidential on it. This was a document that was sent that in no way said at any point in time it was confidential. Not that we don't know. It's understood, right? I think there's an understanding that it's confidential. But it was never – it never said. And basically, instead of sending it to the teams, it was sent out to the and saying confidential, it was sent out to the daily transaction report and all the recipients of that. So everybody had the number.
Yeah.
Everyone had Shador's new number. So it's kind of like, where is it written in it, what that you know, this had to be treated like a confidential document? Because I think if you wanted to say it held up in a court of law, I don't know if the league could actually find the team or Ulbrich and all for all intent purposes, because it was never said a classified or confidential document. Now, I think that's a little bit much, and I understand why they wouldn't. I'm just saying.
Yeah, and you know what's funny, man, is it, when you talk about Jason McIntyre talking about taking picks, I'm like, I'm with you. I don't get the sense that the Atlanta Falcons want to fight on this. They're like, you know, I can just see Arthur Blank being like, dude, I mean, it's 250K. Rip the Band-Aid off. Let's move past this. But had you taken a draft pick, you might have got a lot more stink from Arthur Blank and company. It would have been like, no, wait. Yeah, I see what you're trying to do. And I was going to be a team player, but if you want to take draft picks, we got issues, man. And so I'm with you on that one, man. Jeff Ulbrich also talked a little bit yesterday about, look, man, it's been a tough few days.
Yeah, they've been challenging, but, you know, we brought this upon ourselves, you know, and the fact that I didn't protect the data well enough, and my son did something, obviously he has a great amount of regret.
Yeah, and he should. And, I think that's the one thing that most people take away from this. There's no doubt that Jax Ulbrich should have a lot of regret, but he's also a middleman of sorts, and I think that Jeff Ulbrich is just like, dude, I don't even know what to say at this point.
Well, and I do start to wonder about Jax at this point, because no human, regardless of what has happened, deserves the amount of hate that the internet can bring on someone. So hopefully this can just, we'll pay the fine, get it over with, move forward, next news cycle.
And honestly, what you're saying is exactly how I felt about Shador and when he was dropping in the draft.
Yeah.
I was like, you know what? Whatever he did inside these meetings, and I'm of the thought, you know, I think Marcus Spears has addressed this. Chris Carter's talked about it. There's too much smoke coming from a lot of these interview processes for it to be collusion in my thought. But I also got to a point during the draft watching Shador, I'm like, doesn't deserve this amount of scrutiny. You know what I mean? Like, he's a person too. Like, he's one of these people that, whether or not you think he's entitled or whatever else you want to say about him, he's also a person going through a big moment, and this is a massive letdown. And this guy has, you know, draft rooms and rap songs and everything else going on, and he's got to feel an immense amount of letdown, but he doesn't deserve some of the blowback he's gotten.
Well, I think, look, there's so much to take in. When you want all the attention, you get it sometimes when it's good and bad. And when it's bad, it can be hard. And when it's good, it can be great, right?
Yeah.
And you can't – I don't disagree with you. I don't like blow – I think some of it went too – I think it was a good bit of it went too far on both sides. But this is what happens when you put yourself out there in the spotlight. I'm also – want to touch on, because Ali mentioned about the blowback for Jax Ulbrich, which he's brought all of this on himself, but Ali's right. But then there's stuff like James Palmer, who used to work for the NFL Network. Now he's, I don't know, doing Bleacher Report or something. I don't know where he's going with it. But he tweets, no repercussions for Jax Ulbrich, who took the number and made the prank phone call listed here. Well, I'm sorry, Mr. Palmer. What did you want the league to do? Oh, and by the way,
ding,
we're going to fine, suspend, and bring legal charges against a non-employee. Like, what kind of?
Yeah,
that's the stuff that drives me nuts, because it's just so dumb.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one too. It's like, dude, what do you? Okay, so are we going to just blacklist him from ever attending a Falcons game? Is that what we're going to do?
He's on the
no entry list at Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
A lifelong ban.
Yeah, a lifelong ban. Like, we're going to put his picture at the door at Mercedes-Benz and be like, this guy can't come in. I'm with you on that one. And look, again, and you kind of brought this point up earlier. I'm not making him out to be innocent by any means, but he didn't make the phone call. He got the phone number. I passed the phone number along, which he's just as guilty as the guy making the phone call, probably in a lot of people's eyes. But again,
well, he is.
It's crazy. The whole thing, and I tweeted this out after it happened. The whole thing is just unfortunate. Like, yes. There's no good way to look at any of this. It sucks for Shadur. The blowback's going to suck for Jax. It definitely sucks for Jeff Ulbrich. And here we are having to talk about it. It's Thursday of the following week. So I'm hoping that was my initial reaction to the fine yesterday. Just put it all to bed. Let's just all go to sleep and wake up and act like, we can move on from this scenario.
Hey,
that's how I feel.
I want you guys to think about this on the break. Is it data or data? Because Ulbrich called it data, and
food
I think it's data.
From Squid Billy. We will talk about the Braves on the other side. Like I said, Chris Sale, a letdown start, or was it? A couple streaks broken for the Rockies yesterday. We'll also hit the front page, and we'll talk about the NBA playoffs and another crazy night around the league. Stick with us here. It's the Morning Shift, Sports Radio, 929 The Game. Welcome back in. 641 here on Thursday morning. Appreciate you guys hanging out with us. Sports Radio, 929 The Game. It's the Morning Shift. Mike, Ali, Bo, Dylon, hanging out with you, talking all things Falcons so far. I got an interesting conversation coming up at 7 o'clock about a little bit of insight, I think, yesterday. We always encourage people to just listen close to what these coaches and coordinators and players are saying, there is some insight. I think we got some of that yesterday. We'll break that down for you on what we think that some of the Falcons' defensive assistants were saying about the new rookies. And if you listen close, I think there's some insight into their new roles. Yeah. We're also, Allie and I were talking during the break, and I was like, man, I don't even know what Mahjong is. My wife has played Mahjong the last two nights. Like, I couldn't even tell you what that is. Like, I would hang out with the neighbors and play spades if they wanted to throw down or tonk. Allie hits me with a couple, and I don't even know if she can say the names of them on air.
I know.
She hit me with a couple card games. I was like, bro, I've definitely never heard of that.
31? 31 is common, right? Like 21.
I don't know,
like,
have y'all 31. Ever heard of this? Y'all ever heard of 31?
I've never heard of 31.
Yeah.
It's a game.
BS? Have you heard of BS?
Yeah.
I've heard of that.
Yeah,
okay, everybody knows BS.
What was the other one? Don't say the...
Egyptian
rat something.
Blank.
Yeah, Egyptian rat blank. I was like, yeah, I definitely never heard of that.
Definitely heard of that one.
It is such a competitive game in the Mac household. Like, we are all grown adults. Some have children, and like, we just will go crazy over this game. Ruin holidays over it.
Y'all know Euchre? Heard of Euchre?
Yeah, I've played Euchre before. Man. I couldn't tell you what the rules are, but I definitely have played
it. It's a little variation. It's a spades variation.
Okay. I can vibe with that. Tonk is, I guess it would be a gin rummy variation, I guess.
Yeah.
Where you're looking for sets and things like that. I had to learn tonk when I was playing ball, man, because the guys in the locker room were just so passionate about tonk, dude. I'm about to drop on you. I'm about to drop. Hey, I'm about to step back. And I got to figure this out.
I got one card game that I guarantee neither one of y'all have probably ever heard of.
What's that?
It's called Hand and Foot.
Okay, yeah. Definitely,
got it.
Definitely
don't
off
know
the radar.
It.
Yeah. It's my grandparents who are from Michigan, they taught me. I think it's a very northern type of game.
Yeah, my grandparents are from Michigan too, bro, and I've never heard of such. Okay.
Oh, okay. I don't know where they got it from.
They taught me spades, for that matter.
We play phase 10 over here
But that's one of the ones that comes at like a – you can't play that with a regular deck of cards.
No,
right?
It's Uno. It's like an Uno deck,
yeah.
But it's called Phase 10. And we get very spirited and angry over that.
Yeah.
We used to play Phase 10. Like Skip Bowl as well, too. You guys know Skip Bowl?
Yeah,
Skip Bowl.
That's
Skip
a good Bowl. One.
Solid. Uno's fun, too. So I smell a wake-up call coming. I don't know. We'll have to figure it out when we get to it. Let's pivot real quick, guys. We got to knock out the Atlanta Braves. And I said this going to the break. There was a couple of streaks that were broke last night. First of all, Brenton Doyle that hit the tie-breaking home run had been 0 for 20. No big deal. Tie-breaking home run had been 0 for 20 going to that at bat.
Wow.
So that's always awesome. And also the skid for the Rockies. I think they had lost, 15 of their last 16 or something like that. Just an insane number when it comes to this. And I'll give the Rockies credit. And, they were very rowdy in the dugout.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was almost like they were like, dude, enough's enough. Tired of being the doormat. I don't care if Chris Sale's on the bump. Obviously, Chris Sale, Bo, with a good night last night. He was not the cause of it, nor do I think that he's always been the cause of the loss. But for whatever reason, the guy in Chris Sale that's the reigning Cy Young winner, you expect to be the stopper for this rotation. It seems like the Braves lineup's always coming up short when he's on the bump.
Well, we used to see this a lot back in the day in the 90s, I felt like, where there'd be certain guys that would go to the mound and the bats would struggle. And it's just kind of this mindset that you almost like you don't have to do as much today. The Braves, I think this might be the first time ever that the Braves played the series in Colorado and didn't hit a home run.
That's insane.
Some kind of weird set about that. But they were bad offensively yesterday, just bad. They couldn't hit with guys in. I mean, and it wasn't like Dahlander was this great pitcher. The guy went in with like a ERA over 7.
Yeah.
And, you know, Chris Sale is starting to lower his. I just thought it was great. It was a great performance from Chris Sale. You know, one of that one home run might not even been a home run had it not been in Coors Field, because the ball does still carry there. I don't humidor or not, that ball still carries there. So it was kind of a disappointing game, but you went 4-2 in a 6-game West Coast road trip after being absolutely pathetic on the road. I mean, you know, you were awful on the road before that, and so I'll take it, because again, you were 2-11 on the road before that road trip. So,
well, and I really blame us for the loss yesterday. We kind of jinxed it. Everyone was so excited about the Braves getting back to 500 before May.
So true.
So we did it. We did it to ourselves by getting too hyped about it.
Yeah, and I think it was Brandon Gauden, I think, put out a tweet yesterday. He was like, the Braves have a chance to do something crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just be like, you know. It was something about, and I had to look back up the tweet, but it was something about how teams that have started 0-7, only 4 of them have gotten back to 500, and none of them have done this early. And I'm like, oh, well, yeah, that'd be awesome.
Now it's not going to happen.
Now you're like, oh,
thanks,
man. And now you got the Los Angeles Dodgers coming into town, which, like we talked about yesterday, not great on the road. So if you're looking at the Dodgers saying, man, this is going to be a tough series, let's just see. I don't know. I'm trying to think. I think Grant Holmes is going tomorrow night. They finally put out the probable. Spencer Schwellenbach will face Roki Sasaki on Saturday. That'll be a 7:15 Eastern game. And then Bryce Elder finishes it up against Dustin May. So,
yeah, those are the three you want going.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think at this point you want Holmes and Schwellenbach. I don't know that you want Bryce Elder.
I want Schwellenbach. I don't know what Holmes did in Arizona going against that Dodgers lineup. I'm not sure. I mean, I don't know if you remember that, but he gave up, three of the home runs to Suarez might have been his. I don't know, maybe just two of them. But, yeah, he wasn't very good in Arizona. He had been good before, I give you that.
But maybe when he comes back home, he'll be better.
There you go. Look at the vibe. Love the vibes, man.
Silver lining.
I need that. I need that this morning. Dylan, speaking of vibes, man, let's go ahead and hit the front page.
Yeah, we got to cover the NBA playoffs. Amen Thompson and the Rockets, they had a dominant win over the Golden State Warriors. Final score 131-116, and this is going to force a game 6 on Friday in San Francisco.
This one got out of hand so freaking early. Like Steve Kerr and company were like, all right, we're down by 30. Put in the backups. And credit to the Warriors bench, like, made it interesting at least. I think they pulled back within 15, I want to say.
Yeah. Yep.
But nonetheless, man, it's like, you just, I don't know. Playoff Jimmy wasn't a thing. You know, playoff Steph wasn't a thing. They took this one right on the chin. And I'll be honest, Dylan, I don't know that this series is over, bro. Like,
it's not. Now, I don't expect the Warriors to have just a dunder and a flat game that they had where they shot the ball poorly. Obviously, like you said, playoff Steph and playoff Jimmy, they did not have a good game. And look, teams tend to have one of these series, especially if it's an extended series. Each team tends to have just a dud of a game. The Rockets had one earlier in the series. Last night, obviously, the Warriors. So I expect game 6 to be a lot closer, and it's going to be back in Golden State. So I feel like Golden State will close out in 6. But to your point, this Rockets group is a scrappy bunch, and they got this little bit of hope left, and I think they're going to make sure they do a lot with it.
Yeah, we'll see what happens tomorrow. So the Minnesota Timberwolves, they eliminated the Lakers. Rudy Gobert had playoff career highs with 27 points and 24 rebounds. Julius Randle had 23 points. And Minnesota, of course, will advance to the Western Conference semifinals with their 103-96 victory. Tonight, we do have the Knicks at Detroit and the Nuggets at the Clippers at 10.
You know what's the interesting part of this is that with the Lakers going in, They try to play small ball, and I think it's just simply the fact that nothing else is working. That's why the headline is like, Rudy Gobert like goes off. It's like, dude, yeah, because they had nothing for this guy. Like the entire lineup they put in, completely undersized. And again, I get it. If you're JJ Redick, you're like, nothing else is working. You know what I mean? Like some of these guys that are our big men have been absolute buns during the playoffs. Like, let's go a different direction. But fun to see Rudy Gobert go off, and that LA Lakers saga comes to an end.
Yeah, Oh, go ahead, Bo. Go ahead.
I mean, I don't feel sorry for J.J. Redick. He did this to himself. He sacrificed defense for offense. He's the smartest guy in the room. He'll tell you. Just listen to his little podcast. This was a series. I don't think that the Lakers necessarily should have lost. I just don't think they managed it well. And, you know, not giving any guy – not playing a guy that's 40-something years old 40 minutes at the center position is asinine, if you ask me, especially against the Gobert. And I want to give Rudy Gobert credit, who is kind of a – he's a guy that takes a lot of heat, and he brings a lot of it on himself, but he just stood up and played hard. And they out-physicaled the Lakers. And, you know, now we get the LeBron – 90-minute press conference last night where he talks about he's not going away, which he shouldn't. He in some ways put up an MVP caliber season, and he's going to get probably quite a few votes for MVP. But I love seeing Anthony Edwards' team progress and move on. I like this Timberwolves team, especially since they moved on from Karl Anthony Towns. They got Julius Randle in there. I like that team a lot better, like DiVincenzo. So I'm a big fan of the Timberwolves.
And to your point, I want to piggyback off of your point, Bo, about the Timberwolves out-physicaling the Lakers, because this Lakers team, the Timberwolves were probably the worst matchup for them because of the Timberwolves' size with Julius Randle, with Rudy Gobert. And we talked about the Lakers having to play small ball. They had to play small ball because their bigs, not very good. Yeah, Jackson Hayes.
Been buns.
It's not yeah. good. And you understand why they tried to trade for the guy out of Charlotte, I think, Mark Cain's his name? I can't remember his name on top of my head. But that's why they tried to trade for him, because they know they needed a presence on the inside. They weren't able to get him, obviously, after he failed the physical. And
right. I almost forgot about that.
And it showed. It showed in this postseason. And they went to small ball because they were trying to neutralize Anthony Edwards and Jaden McDaniels. And then the Timberwolves said, okay, well, we'll just give it to Rudy Gobert and let him carry us. And that's what he did. So you got to give credit to Rudy Gobert. But this Lakers team, it was – while they did get out-physicaled, it was just a bad matchup for them, too.
Well, we have very exciting news here in Atlanta. The Hawks' very own Dyson Daniels won Most Improved Player for the league. By the way,
ding,
he's going to be joining the morning shift tomorrow at 8:20. We're going to get to talk to him. But Dyson came into the Hawks as a productive starter, shooting guard. Now he's a foundation player for the Hawks, led the NBA with 229 steals. That is the most since Seattle's Gary Payton had 231 in the 95-96 season. And obviously, Dyson is understandably excited.
I think this year, I'm just happy that I got into a position where, like, I kind of, you know, earned my respect from my opponents, my teammates, my coaches. Like, you know, I feel like this year I just came in with a different mindset, you know, really willing to do whatever it takes to, you know, stamp my foot in this league. And I always knew I had the capabilities of doing it. It was just about, you know, going out there, being confident in myself. And credit to my coaches, my teammates. You know, they wanted me to go out there, be myself. Coach Q was great and, you know, putting me in positions to succeed. So I'm just happy that, you know, I kind of got a fresh start here in Atlanta and kind of, you know, made the most of it. But I still feel like there's a lot more improvement in me. And, you know, I said this on the media before, I feel like that I can win another one of these awards.
Yeah, he's the first Hawk to win it since the great legend Allen Henderson won it in 97-98. Did you guys see he was on NBA on TNT, and his pops is behind him with the balloons, and he pops in behind him. It's hilarious. See, that's how fathers are supposed to interact with their NBA sons, not just on the court, and then try to attack the guy that you just beat like a clown, you know, former MVP and NBA champion. But I'm so happy for Dyson Daniels to kind of – he said it, but – kind of it's a rejuvenation here when he got traded here, and he really recreated himself as far as being a guy that was a first round pick that lived up to it. And so it's just such a cool story, and love the fact that he's a big piece of this team moving forward.
I'm absolutely, like you said, Bo, thrilled for Dyson Daniels, and he was, in my opinion, definitely clear and above the most deserving for this reward. And it makes you feel a little bit better about him not winning Defensive Player of the Year, because you can understand Evan Mobley winning it. You know, usually the guy who's the league leader in blocks and, you know, on the best team like he was, or one of the best teams like he was, you understand him getting that. But the fact that he did get this recognition, which, Bo, you've talked about before, some Hawks don't always get the recognition they deserve. So for him to get this, it makes you feel all warm and fuzzy inside.
Yeah, only the second postseason award for the Atlanta Hawks in the last, I don't know, 28 years, something along those lines. It's just insane. I think it was Jamal Crawford won Sixth Man of the Year in 2010. So just It's crazy, man, but it's awesome. And like Allie mentioned, we'll have him on tomorrow. I want to ask him, like, the first question. I'm already thinking about this. Like, the first question, I'm going to be like, man, what kind of drills? You know what I mean? For most improved player, like, what kind of hand-eye drills are we doing, you know? Like, you see guys wear, like, the 3D goggles on the TV, or the guys, like, throwing the tennis balls at the wall. Like, I'm just like, what are we doing, you know? Like, what?
Or the little thing, like, do you think he's doing the little thing where they have the, like, button in the thing, like, the little tubes randomly drop?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, that's exactly
how many times is he doing that a day?
Yeah, like, we need to get, like, you know, inside the Dyson Daniels effect from the offseason. We'll ask him all about that
tomorrow. He's not a Formula One driver, guys, all right? Yeah. He's not a Formula One driver. He plays basketball.
His hand-eye coordination, dude. Hand-eye coordination off the freaking charts for Dyson Daniels. Led the league in deflections by, like, 150. Something insane like that. So we'll talk to him tomorrow. Look, we got to have more of this Falcons conversation on the other side. The Falcons assistants met with the media yesterday. And if you listen close enough, the roles of these linebackers and these rookies started to emerge yesterday. We'll let you hear from a number of Falcons assistant coaches on the other side. Please stick with us. It's the Morning Shift, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.